The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 20. It's page 92 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. John the Baptist baptized people and urged them to repent. His message came as a shock to the people at the time. Many people, including tax collectors who extorted people and soldiers who oppressed people, came to be baptized. At the time, people were saying the following amongst themselves. It's verse 15 of today's passage. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. People began to wonder whether John the Baptist was not the Messiah they had so long been waiting for. Christ is the Messiah. According to the book of John, when John was baptizing, the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to John to ask who he was. At the time, John said, "He may outwardly appear similar to Christ because both were baptizing people, but that he could not even be compared with Christ in his status and role." This is verse 16. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." To tie or untie one's shoes, one needs to bow down. If you put your foot on a stool, you would be able to tie and untie your shoe. But if your feet are on the ground, you cannot tie or untie your shoes without having to bow down. The same applies when tying the shoes of another person. You would have to bow down to do so. At the time, between teachers and students, students would do various things for their teacher to express their gratitude. But one thing that the students did not do was take their shoes off for them. This was because they thought this was the role of servants and not students. But even for servants, the Jews did not make their Jewish servants tie or untie their shoes. This was because they thought such a lowly task should be the job of a servant who was below Jewish servants. If we were to tie or untie a person's shoes, we would be staring only at the person's feet. But the person with his or her shoes being tied would be seen by other people. But if the person tying his or her shoes were to stand up, they would obstruct the person from being seen by others. John the Baptist said he could not untie the shoes of the Messiah because he could not obstruct other people from seeing Jesus. Although Jesus is not someone that can be obstructed from being seen. John the Baptist was not trying to be humble, but was trying to say how different he was from Jesus. Karl Barth, who is a Swiss pastor and one of the theologians representing the 20th century, in his book, The Epistle to the Romans, says, "There is a qualitatively infinite difference between God and humanity." John is making the same confession. John knew how different Jesus, who would come after him, was from him. What is the difference between John and Jesus that John is referring to? This is the latter half of verse 16. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John baptized with water, but Jesus was to baptize with the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the difference between the two in a bit. And John not only says Jesus baptizes, but also judges. This is verse 17. "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John says one of the most important things that Jesus will do after coming again is to separate the wheat and chaff. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the three last parables to his disciples: the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the sheep and the goats. One thing all of these parables have in common is that Jesus judges and separates. The 10 virgins were waiting for the groom to take part in the wedding banquet. 5 had enough oil to keep their lamps lit, while the other 5 did not. When the groom arrived, the 5 that had enough oil entered the wedding banquet, but the 5 that did not failed to join the banquet because the door was shut when they came back after getting their oil. In the next parable, a master called his servants before leaving on a journey and gave each of them 5, 2, and 1 talent of gold. 1 talent at the time was worth 6,000 days of wages. So this means it would be wages worth of 16 years, given a person worked every day of the year, and worth 20 years when counting the days off. The servants who received 5 and 2 talents gave back 2 times worth of their share and were praised by their master, but the servant who received 1 talent simply brought back what he received. He not only was told he was a wicked and lazy servant, but was kicked out and had to stay outside in the darkness for this. In the next parable, people like sheep, people who served even the lowliest of people, like they would serve the Lord, received eternal life. But people like goats, who disregarded lowly people, became subject to eternal punishment. The people in these parables may have appeared the same before the bridegroom and the master came. All 10 of the women had lamps, and their lamps were lit, so all of them appeared the same. The servants each lived their own way after receiving the talents. And the others in the third parable also lived their own ways, whether they took care of people or not. The people who disregarded the lowly people may even have received greater acknowledgement from others. But when the groom came and the master returned, they were separated. The same goes for wheat and chaff. Before harvesting, they look the same. They stand in the same shape, in the same rice paddy, the same field. They all grow from the same sunlight and the water that the farmer gives them. But when it's time for harvest, and they go to the threshing floor, they're separated. The wheat go into the barn, but the chaff are burned in the fire. This is because they are different inside. We may outwardly appear the same when we attend worship service. We can sing in the same notes and outwardly appear to offer the same volunteering service. We may not be distinguishable from the outside, but our Lord looks at our hearts. He looks whether we truly love Him and what we place our hopes on. There is a saying in Korean, "The one that laughs at the last moment is the true winner." The one that laughs at the last moment is the one who truly laughs, or laughs the loudest. How can we become the person that laughs at the last moment? From this saying, it seems like the judgment comes at the last moment. But the saying is actually stressing that the last judgment is taking place at this moment. Ten women were waiting for the bridegroom, but when he came, 5 entered the wedding banquet while the other 5 did not. But they were divided before the groom even arrived. The same applies for the servants that were praised and scolded when the master returned. Each of their lives had already determined what would happen to them. And those who received eternal life and eternal punishment had already had what would happen to them decided based on how they lived. So one of the most important things to remember as we lead our lives of faith is to keep spiritually awake. The book of Luke also tells of John the Baptist's ministry in the following verse. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. John preached the good news. As I said last week, the news John preached did not appear as such pleasant news. He didn't say that if a person is baptized, that person would receive great blessings from the heavens, or that this would make their wishes come true. John reprimanded the people who came to be baptized by saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath." But Luke says this was good news. I remember a scene from the Korean film Friend I watched long ago. Four high school students who grew up in the same neighborhood get involved in a gang fight at a movie theater, and two of them are expelled from school. One is forced to move to a different school, and only the student who got the best grades was temporarily suspended from school. The last student felt so bad, so he takes money from his house and suggests to another friend that they leave their homes to go to Seoul. At the time, this friend refuses, saying the following. I have slightly revised the lines because of the inappropriate language. Do you know when I realized that I was raised in a poor environment? When I was young, I liked that a lot of gang members hung out at my house. But none of them scolded me when I returned after leaving home during middle school. If even one of them had beat me up, I would have realized I shouldn't have lived like that. You live your way, I will live mine. Good news may not be good to hear at all times. It may be sad. The words spoken by John were probably not what the Pharisees and Sadducees at the time wanted to hear. But they had to listen to John, because it would benefit them to listen. But they did not. Luke states the following verses 19 and 20. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Herod Antipas married the wife of his half-brother, Philippus the First, Herodias, after abandoning his wife. Herodias was not only his brother's wife, but actually also his niece. John spoke up about Herod's wrongdoing. But Herod did not fix his wrongdoings and instead chose to lock John up in prison. John was finally beheaded by Herod. John's imprisonment and beheading took place a long time after John's baptizing. But the reason Luke recorded this in the same chapter was to show that this was the last part of John's ministry. John's ministry was to prepare the way for Jesus. So John disappears after introducing Jesus as someone that is incomparable with him. As John the Baptist had his period of ministry, we also have our own. For people working in the public sector, they have a term they are able to serve. And those working for private companies also have a period they are able to work. Students have a fixed period they are required to study. God has allowed each of these periods for us. And our lives will be evaluated based on how we have spent these periods. John's ministry only lasted a short period. It was very short compared to the 30 years he spent in the wilderness, but he faithfully carried out his mission. This is why 2,000 years from then, he is remembered as a person who prepared for the Lord's way. We are also people who are preparing for the Lord's second coming. If we share the thoughts of John that we are not even fit to tie the straps of Jesus' sandals, we will probably be on the right track of preparing for the Lord's way. John said he baptizes with water, but that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Baptize in Greek is baptizo. This means place in water. Baptize in English came from this word. The Chinese characters for baptize in Korean refer to a cleansing ceremony. Baptizing is a ceremony in which sins are washed. But there is a precondition when we say our sins are washed. This is that our hearts should be clean. What shall we do when work needs to be done on our hearts? If our clothes become dirty, we can wash them. Even if they get oil stains while working at an oil factory, they can be cleaned by using detergent. But what should we do when the clothing has decayed? Will it be restored by using a lot of good detergent? Or by beating it up with a paddle? Or by dry cleaning it? If only part of the clothing has decayed, we can cut this part out and sew on a new piece of the same material. But what should we do when the entire piece of clothing has decayed? We can only throw it out. If we need the same piece of clothing, we would throw out the damaged piece of clothing and buy a new one. The same applies to a machine. If the machine gets rusty on the outside, we can clean this up. But if a machine has been abandoned for such a long time that the entire machine has become corroded, what should we do? We must throw away the machine and buy a new one. The Bible says the following about humanity. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Bible says the most deceitful thing is the heart of humanity. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The Bible tells that humanity is like completely decayed clothing and a corroded machine. So when we referred to baptism, it would be more accurate to say switching to something new than to cleanse. The Apostle Paul accurately describes the meaning of baptism in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 say, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea." The cloud and the sea refer to the Red Sea that the Israelites crossed when leaving Egypt. Paul says the Israelites crossing the sea is their baptism. What is a distinct change after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea? A change in their status. Before they crossed the Red Sea, they were slaves of Egypt. But after they crossed the Red Sea, they became people of God and free people. Their old selves died and they lived as new people. So I think the term baptism, not as a cleansing ceremony, but a ceremony of death of the old person. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4 state the following about baptism. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." It says baptism is dying and being raised with Christ, that it is a ceremony of death and ceremony of life. We are like decayed clothing or a corroded machine, so that God could only dispose of us. But because we were in Christ, God regarded our old selves as having died when Jesus died on the cross, and said we lived when Jesus was raised from the dead. The meaning of the baptism that John performed is that we are like decayed clothing that cannot be restored, and a corroded machine that cannot be used. Sin has decayed and corroded us so that we could only be disregarded by God. But just because we acknowledge that we deserve disregard and wrath of God does not mean that we are saved. Let's say I owe a person 1 trillion won but have no way to pay back this money. The debt will not disappear by me going to the lender and stating that I have no way to pay back the money. The baptism that John performed extends to the point where the person acknowledges that they have no way to pay back the debt. Someone needs to pay this back for it to disappear. The baptism performed by Jesus is what removes the debt. You may ask the following. John said he baptizes with water, but that the Lord baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Is it right that I am baptized by the Holy Spirit? Because when we reflect on our lives in many phases of our lives, our faith was superficial, so sometimes it seems like we have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But this is not the case. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If we are able to call Jesus Lord, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to call Jesus Lord without being baptized by the Holy Spirit. If we are able to call Jesus our Lord, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells with us at this moment. So baptism is becoming united with the Lord. It is a ceremony of uniting with Jesus' death and a ceremony of uniting with the resurrection of Jesus. So when Christians are baptized, this does not simply mean they go through the process of baptism, but that they become united with Jesus Christ so that their old selves die and a new life with a good relationship with God begins. There was a criminal. He was in and out of prison most of his life. He committed so many sins, it was difficult to find a sin he did not commit. So he spent more time in prison than outside. But later on in his life, he accepted the gospel in prison and was baptized. He was so grateful that a person that committed so many sins like himself could be forgiven. He became a new person afterward. He lived a life of repentance until his death, and asked the forgiveness of those he wronged, and sincerely lived a life of faith. At age 70, he died and went to heaven, thinking that there would be none other that had received as much grace as he did. There was another person. He was born in a Christian family and learned about how to live as a Christian from his parents. He was a diligent student and worker, studied the Bible at church, and sincerely took part in volunteering and fellowship. He also died at the age of 70 and went to heaven, thinking there was none other that received as much grace as he did. Let's say these two people met each other in heaven. Both would have told each other about their lives and how much they were blessed. Who of the two do you think received the greater blessing? It is not important which denomination we belonged to and what form of baptism we received. Also, if you have not been baptized yet, it does not matter when you will be baptized and how. What we all must remember is that we must live as true baptized members of the church. We are people who have taken part in the death ceremony that united us with the death of Christ, and people who have taken part in the ceremony of life in which we united with Christ's resurrection. So we have become Christians who aim to live according to the Word of God. Only when we correctly perceive this can we live a meaningful life on this earth and be able to confess when we die without regret that we have truly lived in God's grace. We are now living the final months of 2021. Next week is Thanksgiving Sunday, and Advent will begin in the next week. Who will be able to live the remaining weeks of this year in God's grace and truly await the coming of Jesus? It is the person who believes that we are subjects of God's wrath and disposal, but that He sent His Son and baptized us with fire and the Holy Spirit. If we believe this, we will live each day offering our lives as worship in Holy Spirit and truth. Beloved members of the church, let us all be true baptized members of the church. Let us not forget that we have taken part in the death ceremony, which united us with Christ's death, and the ceremony of life that united us with Christ's resurrection. If we live our lives aiming to live according to the Word of God, our lives will be filled with God's grace and His work. Let us pray. Father God, we were like completely decayed clothing and a completely corroded machine that only deserved to be disposed of due to our sins. We thank You for not disposing us and instead letting Your only Son be put to death to save us eternally. When the disaster of the eldest son in the family dying struck Egypt, You saved the Israelites who had the blood of the Lamb on their homes from the disaster, even if there were wicked, self-righteous people and brutal criminals. We thank You that You have spared us, who are full of fault and who are undeserving, from Your wrath by the blood of Jesus. Let us not forget that we have taken part in the death ceremony, which has united us with Christ's death, and the ceremony of life that has united us with Christ's resurrection. So let us live as true baptized members of the church. Let us continue our walk with You and let our lives be filled with Your grace and work, not only in the following week, but until the end of our lives here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.